Amen, amen, amen. Welcome, 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 everybody. Welcome once again. I'm just so joyful. This is my favorite time of the year. I'm glad that we have saw it through. Thank you, seniors. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Quick little side note. Just something going on behind the scenes. We've had a lot of people who started to visit our social media pages, reach out and ask about the church and ministry. So don't let the spaces between everybody fool you. It's truly a, we're truly making strides. It may not look like it, but we're making progress, and I'm so thankful to God for that. And now the word this morning, Acts chapter 16, verse 30 through 34, and it goes as follows. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Amen. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. Amen. From the subject, part two series, and this is part one, get your house in order. Amen. Get your house in order. Father, help me now. In Jesus' name, amen. Get your house in order. The gentleman that was identified in this passage of scripture was the jailer who put or who presided over Paul and Silas while they were in prison for preaching the gospel. And because of the way that they handled that situation while they were on lockdown, impressed this jailer, this citizen, so much so until he wanted to know, what must I do to be saved? The man standing out and being forthright in this particular situation, the man asking and inquiring about how he could change the destiny for his family. It's such a beautiful and important thing as we begin to move forward. Not only that, he actually made such an impact until his entire household actually heard and believed the gospel. Now, don't get me wrong. Just because a person inside of your household is saved doesn't mean that everybody in the house will be saved, because God has given us free will. However, albeit and notwithstanding, it's still pretty significant when you have a parent or a person that is in charge of the family or leading the children to be saved and show enough saved. It's almost like it's a positive influence, to say the least. So over several months, what I've been doing in prayer and sometimes being perplexed at the same time, I've been trying to get a picture of what God has been doing through this plague, this pandemic, that has changed so much in 2020. From an emphasis on social distancing, the wearing of masks, working from home if you've been privileged to do so, to people losing jobs, businesses having to start and restart without proper funding, and churches closing or at most having to change long-standing ways to function under at times intense public, in some cases, government scrutiny. I mean, when have you heard churches having to go to the Supreme Court so often as you did this particular year, just to be treated fairly? We have planes that are full with people with masks, but then churches, you can only have 5 or 10 people, if not zero. Even today, the impending release of effective vaccines, there is widespread skepticism for a variety of reasons. Some out of ignorance, some of it is myth and foolery, but others of them are legitimate. It's crazy because there are now proposals being made to attach employment to whether or not you will take the vaccine. You can't work here unless, because you said that you didn't want to take it, well, you're going to take it, or because we don't want, watch this, we don't want you affecting everybody at the workplace. Because as California and New York found out, just because you wear a mask, that doesn't mean that the thing won't happen. So maybe, just maybe, we're going to attach those two together. The same way that you can't have your kids, watch this, enroll in school unless they get those vaccines. And everybody in here who has had a baby, going back to the 70s and 60s, have had to do it. This will just be another one added to the list. And it doesn't mean to scare you. I'm just letting you know that this is what is coming down the pipe. So you may not be able to watch everybody else get it first. I remember when I was getting ready to go over to Qatar during the time of the Iraq War to do some work over there for a particular division in a particular place that with the Air Force, and they were basically saying, well, you know, if you go over there, you're going to have to take the anthrax vaccine. Y'all remember anthrax? You might not even remember. It's been so long ago, but I remember it, and that needle was like this long. I politely declined, not because of the vaccine itself, but the length of the needle. I was like, if you put that in my bottom, it's going to come out through the front. That's how big that needle was. But all the military personnel that went over there had to take it. They didn't have a choice. And for everybody that has a government job or civil servants, guess what? Strange times we live in. Not only that, oh, they got something for those of you that are not thinking about taking it because you're not a part of the government. They said that the stimulus checks for $1,500, that you will not be able to get a stimulus check. Or rather, if you want the stimulus check, you need to take the vaccine. You don't have to, but that $1,500 is looking real good around this time of year, don't it? I'd like to welcome you to Vine Truth Christian Center, where we love God and we show enough love people. I'm just trying to give you the picture of what is going on in the world today. I may look crazy, but I'm not crazy. My, what strange times we live in. Still, God is not surprised, and while there are many who are becoming numb to the trying circumstances or to try to fight the wind, if you will. This plague, this pandemic is like fighting the wind. How in the world can you deal with all of that? Even with talking with young people, this has been a mentally taxing season. To not be able to go and visit grandma and them, or if you are going, everybody has to take a shot. And then if you don't calculate it right, if it's not back on time, you're not going. So now you have to do a rapid test, which is like almost like $200 a pop, unless you find a free place, which is like way in Tavares somewhere. Trying times we live in. Fighting the wind. New stay-at-home orders in certain parts of the country that are following the rules, but they cannot contain it. But out of all of this, there has been a noticeable byproduct of this year that rings loudly to me, because I've been trying to hear God keenly during this moment in time. Holiness has been a major thing. Sit down somewhere. It's been a major thing, but there's something that has had a significant uptick, a truly big uptick, and that is the emphasis that people have been placing on their homes. Have you noticed? Never before have I seen so many people in hardware and home improvement stores. You talk about thick at Oviedo Mall. Home Depot, Lowe's, Ace Hardware. Even the hardware section at Piggly Wiggly is packed. Because people are focusing on their homes, their houses. It's strange. I've seen it. Lady Martin and I, we've done several improvements to our home over this specific year. So there's been a lots of activity and home improvement stores and hardware stores. And they've been packed at this time more than any other time. It's almost as if God is making us get our houses in order. You follow me? It's almost as if he's making us get our houses in order. People spending more family time together. Even during this entire phase, I've never seen so many bikes being missing from out of places that we matriculate in order to buy food, like Walmart. Bikes gone. I could buy a bike myself. I haven't ridden a bike as much as I have in like almost 20, 25 years. But there I go pedaling. Lady Martin be picking at me too. She's like, man, you sweat an awful lot to just go one block. I said, the Lord is working on me. Family walks. Oh, my goodness, my boys are like, oh, here we go again. But we got a chance to spend intimate time together. No other time, because, you know, America especially likes to pride itself off of rugged individualism. It's just me as the individual, but not this time. Not this year. So it's almost as if God is making us get our houses in order or to give special attention to things that have been long neglected. So in this two-part series, I will share in the first part what God has given me to assist in deciphering all of this. Not to just fix a sink or to pressure wash a driveway, to paint some halls, or to plant some trees, but a distinct definition of what is to have a house. First, that's part one. And then how to make that house a home. A house means a dwelling place, a place where people reside, a residence, a place where you should be able to lay your head. But it's also a place where the most domestic violence incidents actually happen and take place. And during this pandemic, in the natural, you see people working on the houses. But in the spirit, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be worked on behind closed doors. Quite a bit. So how do we distinguish a house from a home, spiritually speaking? Well, a house means this, as the scripture tells us in John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. It says this, talking about making a focus on getting our houses in order. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. Are you feeling troubled this morning? Are you feeling dismayed? Are you feeling distraught, distressed? The Bible says, believe in God. Believe also in me. This is Jesus talking. He says, in my Father's house there are many rooms, many mansions. If it were not so, I have told you that I go to and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take to you myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Lord, have mercy. Our house is a very, very, very fine house. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house is a place where we will meet. Our house. A dwelling place. But this particular house is one not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. House. Did you know that a house, I'm trying to make it plain for you, has some key components? In the spirit, right? But in the natural, this building would not be able to be erected. Our houses, our apartment complexes, wherever we are staying at, cannot be erected unless there is a foundation. I remember J. Vernon McGee, a great theologian of yesteryear, had a wonderful radio show, and he was like, it's now time for a firm foundation. Let's go to the scriptures in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, right there, fellas, when I was back there during the time of the last part of the Cold War, I just want to let you know, and then he began to go on and on. It was captivating talking about the actual gospel, a firm foundation. It's like the concrete being poured out. That's what this owner actually does on a regular basis as a business. He's a construction person, but he primarily deals with concrete or building foundations. Foundations. So what is our foundation? How do we build a house that can weather the storm so we won't be blown to and fro? How can we handle such things? Well, our foundation is in Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 13 says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, but it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. So the foundation is Christ. And if you build your house on a foundation of Jesus Christ, you can add things to it. Your works, what you do in the community, how you serve and how you love one another. But it will be tested. It will be tested by going through the fire. In this pandemic, I will call this a time where we cannot be distracted. You cannot be distracted. You will not be able to ignore that you have some flaws in your house. Things that have been long neglected. Before, we had work as a needful distraction. We had relatives that were needful distractions. We had our jobs. We had a video game. We had all these things that we were doing outside of the house, club life, even the church. And being in church was a needful distraction. But man, like the gentleman that was jailing Paul and Silas, you really find out who somebody is when they can't go anywhere. Haven't you heard the prevailing theme that this whole thing has felt like a prison? Now, what is it about prison that really sticks out? Well, one of the things about prison that really sticks out when you can't really go anywhere is that you really have a lot of deep thoughts. Your mind doesn't really drift. It is intently focused on who you are. Some people can't stand being alone because the person that is looking at them in the mirror has a lot of issues. And the distractions of kids, distractions of jobs, distractions of places, church, all these other things kept me from having to focus on me. These four walls. I always like to tease about the song, My Mind is Playing Tricks on Me, like by the Ghetto Boys from many, many years ago. And it was actually, seems like it was a rough song, but it was actually a picture of mental health that a lot of people go through. It was a lot of schizophrenia in that song. And I sleep, toss and turn, candlesticks in the dark, seems like some bodies are being burned. Four walls just staring at, paranoid sleeping with my hand on the trigger. Back and forth. My mind is playing tricks on you. Is it? Or are you really just plumb crazy? And you never wanted to confront it. Maybe, just maybe, we're really toxic. And we didn't want to confront it. See, when you build a foundation, that foundation is set, it's solid. It's the things that are added to it that oftentimes are shaky. Foundation is in Christ. Did you know the next part to a house is the framing, like the wood slats that you put up? You have four walls. One. This is like a load-bearing part of the wall. That's why you see the thickness of it. There's a load-bearing part of the wall that's right over there in the center, and then those pylons that are over there inside of the daycare area, those are load-bearing walls. In other words, if they're not firm enough, then the entire thing, as beautiful and as spacious as it is, will become a hazard. It will collapse upon itself. So this frame, these wood slats that actually go all around the building are there to give a better appearance of the actual house, because you can't just stay with the foundation alone. You have to now build upon it, have something to show for it. It's like being saved and then not doing anything else. Being lazy saints. I know you got a lot going on, but there are rewards for doing things in the kingdom of God. One of the things that we have to work on in our church is, once these things start to blow over, but it was a problem even before, prior to this, is that we have to make a special emphasis to bring people to the Lord. If you're not bringing people to the Lord or introducing them to Jesus Christ, then we are really not doing our job. So this wood frame is what helps shape the house. It's rooms, it's partitions, it helps organize things. And the thing that really synonymizes this with the believer is a frame reminds me of a worldview. What is a worldview? A worldview is basically how you see the world, how you process information. There are some people, just depending on their worldview, that feels one way about the pandemic, and there's a lot of anxiety about it. And then there's others who totally dismiss it. It's the same thing, but it means different things to different people, a worldview. But when it comes to the Christian, our worldview should be shaped by God and not those around us. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, here's the first pillar in the house as we're standing up this frame. I've seen frames being stood up, and oftentimes what they'll do is that they'll bring a bobcat in, or I like to watch some of those shows that are on A&E, and how they would take the wood frame and they would pull it up by ropes, or they would pull it up by a crane in order to stand it up. So it's not an overnight process. These things have to be developed. So what's the first pillar? What's like the first wall in this frame that we put up? Well, the first part of this frame is trusting God. Mother-in-law's favorite scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5-8 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight," or he will direct your path. And the verse goes on to say, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." So if God ain't in it when you're making the decision, you might be making a devilish decision. And the devil don't make no friends. And he does not like God's creation. That's the first slat. And then the next part of the frame is to study the scriptures. So in the first particular example, before we go on, the way that I see the world, I have to see the world by acknowledging God in all my ways. Is this God or is it not? The way that I talk to somebody, is this of God or is it not? When I make this connection, is it a divine connection or is it a devilish connection? Am I getting wise counsel or am I getting counsel from all the heathens in my family? It always seems like people that don't know God know everything. trust in God. The second one that helps shape this frame, how we see the world, is studying the scriptures. Studying of the scriptures. One of the main reasons why people fall into diverse doctrines, I'm just amazed at how people are changing their ways. Even when it comes to some of the cults that are around, I received a call like 3 times from a Jehovah's Witness. I guess they're not knocking, but now they're calling. I'm just saying. It was like, what's your name again, sir? I was here to call about a funeral, and I just want to give my condolences. I was like, to your wife, because I was told that she passed away. And I said, what? I said, my wife is alive and well. I squeezed her yesterday and this morning before she went to work. So she's alive and well. And he was like, oh, okay. What's your name again, sir? I was like, my name is Andre Martin. I'm a pastor of Divine Truth Christian Center. And he was like, yes, I'm a Jehovah's Witness, and I just wanted to send out my condolences. This is not the place? And I said, no, sir. Everything is all well and good. And then he went to go on to try to do evangelism. I was like, well, number one, it's during my break. So I was actually working at the time that he called. But then he began to try to weasel his way in there. And, you know, I was like this, but I was looking at the clock, too, so I only had about 2 minutes left on my clock before I had to start class again. And I was like, well, sir, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you. I actually have to go right now. You know, it's like, well, I would love to talk to you again about God and the Bible and the scriptures. And I was like, well, sir, I don't mind talking to you again, but I just want to let you know before you contact me again is this one fact, and I believe that Jesus is God. He was like, oh, well, if we never talk again, sir, that's all right, but I surely would like to sit down with you. And I was like, I would like to sit down with you too. So we could talk about the New World Translation and all this other stuff that I can't spit out in 2 minutes. Studying the scriptures. I know we've had a little bit of a rocky time with our Bible studies. Sometimes it's distracting being at home, at least for me, especially with work and advancing my career in one particular hand. Sometimes advancing in your career kind of shakes up your focus in other areas, and then stuff starts popping up. So I really long for the day when we can turn to the house of the Lord so I can just totally focus on the things of God. But for right now, I have to do what I have to do. And the reason why that's so important is because there's a lot of people who get tripped up because they don't like to read or study. This is not just black folk. This is people in general. People hate to read. Reading builds your vocabulary. But not just reading, because there's a lot of people read and do their research, but now you have to do research in context. And so when you look at the world, the second piece of that wall is applying the word. A young man reached out to me late last night and said, Pastor Martin, can you give me a Bible? I want to study the scriptures with my wife. It was the most beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. It's so rare when it happens, but when it does, that's what actually prompted this message, getting the house in order, because this young man is trying to get his house in order, and he rushes to the scriptures. Let me study it. I don't want to be ignorant. I want to know the word for myself. I want to help govern my family with the word of God. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25 says the following. Says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So that means that when you come to church and you try not to hear me, you're deceiving yourself. You are actually trying to not hear the word of God, as if God don't know what you're doing. Needful distractions. But he won't let us go nowhere right now. You remember all the people that used to say, I studied the Bible at home. No, the ham fat, you don't. Because if you did, you wouldn't let all these memes on Facebook just whisk you away into foolish controversies. The be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, talking about the scriptures, the law of liberty or freedom, we were talking about that this morning, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. If you love me like you say you do. Do you love me? Show me. Show me. You can say whatever you want, but I want you to show it. I may not be a man of very many words outside of the pulpit, unless I'm talking to my boys. My boys are going to grow up saying, my dad talked me to death. My mom talked me to death, too. But it gave me life when I needed her advice later on. Doing. I want to show you that I love you by my actions. Actions speak louder than words. In relationships, sometimes our actions really tell what's going on. You could say one thing, but what you do is another matter altogether. Do your actions tell you that you love another person and vice versa? They surely do. Repeating verse 25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the scriptures, because that is our frame of reference, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he and even she will be blessed in their doing. So there's a blessing that comes with being obedient to God and acting. People always ask me, well, Pastor Martin, why are you so blessed? What are you doing? What's your strategy? Jesus? Just knowing Jesus, that's it? No, actually doing what he says. The formula, remember the formula? I preached that message back in 2012, 2013. It's faith and what? Obedience. Having faith and obedience. That's one of the other slats that goes on. And now we got our framework to the house. And so when I look at the world and when I see the world, I see this as it is. The next verse of scripture, I'm going to go back up. Media Center, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This is another thing. This is like another piece of the wall being put up. So we got our foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and now we got our pillars in place, and now we're putting up the wood slats around the house. But it's not a house just yet. But this is a really good slat right here. This is the following. In verse 16, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. When I do counseling, when I teach people, when I converse with people, as I have over the years, I try as hard as possible to not say things that do not align with Scripture. I may lean on my own personal experiences between my wife and I in the workplace, and I don't just counsel just for marriage sake. I also counsel in regards to business, going through different types of adversity, life coaching, whatever it may be. It's very, very, very many things that I deal with. Technology is a bunch of stuff that I deal with. But when it comes to the Word of God, it is the chief decision maker. So before you make a decision, remember how I was saying my mother-in-law's favorite scripture is Proverbs, and it talks about acknowledge the Lord and all your ways, and he will direct your path. When you are making decisions and you're thinking about things, this is simple. Is it God or is it not? Would God endorse this behavior that you're doing right now? Because if God ain't in it and you go along with it, you're going to have some strange consequences that's going to come from out of those actions. And you will have no one else to blame but yourself. So I'm doing an intervention today. I'm trying to help you get your house in order. Did you know, Brother Ryan, that a house with wood slats and the foundation, that's not all that there is? That's not all that there is. There is this one little phrase in Color Purple from many, many, many years ago. I didn't even know that movie was that old. It was 1983, Lady Martin, 84, somewhere around there. And there was one thing that I remember to this day. It was two little kids. They were outside playing in the front yard or doing what have you. And then it started raining outside. And then they look up to the sky and said, "It's going to rain on your head." So without a roof, then all of the elements, the heat, the rain, the wind, any other things could just pour all over you, pour on you. So one of the main ingredients to a house is having a covering. This is what it is. Somebody got that. Ibabashando, this is what it is. Actually translated in another language that actually says this is what it is. All this time, I didn't even know. So Al Peterson, who brought that to my attention, I salute you, sir. You are my interpreter. We're going to go to Guatemala, and we're going to both confuse everybody. Roof. How many of y'all heard the roof? The roof is on fire. We don't need somebody heard it too. So who else had that same brain? I know. The roof represents a covering. A covering. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16 gives us the covering for our houses. Notice I'm not saying a home yet. A home is something different. The home, this is the house is the structure. The home is the individuals inside of the house, which I will be talking about next week. The house, the roof, the covering. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16 says, "And he gave some apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So these offices, these roles, starting from the 12 of yesteryear to missionaries, to pastors, to teachers, to evangelists, everybody who has roles in your gifts. We went through a gifts assessment with many of our leaders, and you find out who you really is. It's for building up the body of Christ, to equip them for the overflow that is coming. I've already seen the tea leaves. Multiple views on our website. There's people who are watching before they come. We must be ready. And these offices all together are like multiple hands inside of a dish that are kneading dough. They are working together in order to form and shape the man and woman of God so that they can do the work of the ministry, to make them mature. You can't stay young forever. You can't be a part of a church and not be confronted for some of your buffoonery and some of your anti-Christian behavior. Not if you're under a right covering. That's like going to a doctor and telling everybody, "Don't touch me. I'm all right." That is, until you start hurting really bad, then you're going to need some help. So the scripture says that these offices, these people, have a purpose. Verse 14 says, "So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, social media, posts, memes, people in our ear that don't know God, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes." So this seems kind of weird. So you mean that a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, these people are here so that you won't get swept away by crafty doctrine that is carried by the wind? The wind is a vehicle for the voice. The wind represents a spirit. God's spirit is unified. But when you have multiple voices are demonic. "I am legion, for we are many." It's confusing when you have several voices just coming all over the place and then you're just trying to figure stuff out. No. With God, God is clear. He is not the author of confusion. Verse 15 says, "Rather speaking the truth in love." Oh, Lord. See, this right here won't make your church popular.
This right here won't make, you know, sometimes it'll empty out a seat every now and then. You might get mad with pastor a couple of Sundays. It happens. But the scripture says, from whom, or rather speaking the truth in love. I want to tell you the truth, but I do it lovingly, not to hurt you. You want me to get this knife out your back? Guess what? It's going to feel bad as I pull it out. You want me to help you fix your broken arm? I got to put it in the splint. You're going to yell out a little bit. But the truth of the matter is that you're hurting. And if you don't get a hold to that, that wound that you have wide open is going to infect others. And when it infects others, then you have everybody else acting like you versus getting healed. No wonder they call God the great physician. So we have to speak in truth and love, and we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Now look at this. They're saying that these people in this building who have these gifts, the elders, whoever it may be, are there for the goodwill and pleasure of God, to serve the members, the people who are in the body of Christ, to help them to become better, to take them from being children and to tell them to grow up. Stop tripping. Listen to God. Follow God. Get your house in order. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body joined together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. One of the interesting things I saw when we were going through our gifts assessment is we're waiting for God to send the waterers, to send the sprinklers, the sprinkler heads, the evangelists. He started a little bit of a drip, but we got everything else. But I'm like, God, why is it so long to have the evangelists come through? Because those are the ones that fill the seats in the church. Prophets prune, pastors cultivate, apostles and missionaries, they plant, but evangelists, they water. They help things grow. And I believe that God is telling us today that we have to get the others in order before things grow, because things can grow wrong. If they grow wrong, you can have a church split. If they grow wrong, you can have a petty church, or a messy church, or a green leaf church. So those people in those key places have to have all the foolishness out of them, a system of accountability, so that they will be strong enough to be able to handle the influx of souls coming in. It makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in what? Love. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. All right, Jeremiah, I heard you preaching a little bit earlier. Proverbs 17, verse 24, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15 says, and I will give you shepherds or pastors after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. We know that this is not talking about sheep here, but it is. It's not talking about literal sheep. It's saying that God is the one who gives you a covering, to feed you with knowledge and understanding, to encourage you when you're going on the right path, and to tell you, hey, guess what? You getting ready. You think the grass is green on the other side, don't you? Don't you? Don't you? Yeah, no, it's not. It's not. It's artificial. There's no nutrients there. It just has an illusion. But you're going to go over there anyway, aren't you? Because I can't make you stop. The only thing I have is words. That's the only thing I can do. I can't restrain you. Can't restrain nobody. But that goes all the way back into the scripture when it says, not only be hearers of the word, but doers. If you listen, you might go through some troubles sometimes, but you're going to be all right in the very end. Trust me. Not me, but trust the God in me. Covering. Elder Winsley, did you know that there's a couple of other components, and then I'm done. The next part is windows and doors. That also goes to a part of a house, right? Right? Isn't it nice to just be able to see outside and see how it's so nice and sunshiny outside? It looks so nice. So that means we'll be able to do that roadside cleanup without getting rained on. It looks great. I used to terrify the saints when we were in our old building over there off of Aloma, because I would always be looking outside the window. And I had to because it was a big old giant storefront. So I was always looking out the window. And Lady Martin would look at my eyes and she'd be looking around like this. Let me look around, see who's coming through the door. Well, when it comes to a house, this is what God means. Discernment. When I looked up the word discernment, discernment really means wisdom. Silly man, silly woman, tricks are for kids. You want to get rid of the silliness, the naivety? Wisdom is the principal thing. I was very naive when I was in my mid to early 20s. In my early 20s, I was very naive. Even with all the stuff that I went through in the neighborhood growing up, I was still very naive to the wiles and the ways of the world. I made a lot of mistakes, very painful mistakes, and I asked God, God, please help me. I'm tired of making these foolish decisions. I asked my dad about it, and he was like, well, go ask your mother. And then I went to my mom, and my mom was like, well, Solomon was really wise. And the way that he became wise is that he went to the scriptures and he inquired of God. And he asked God, God, can you help me with wisdom? And he became the most wisest man along the way in antiquity. The only reason why he fell off the wagon a little bit is because he departed from what God gave him. He chose not to be wise and to entertain foolish things, and then he lost the kingdom as a result of that. So much wisdom. And so I saw that example of Solomon. I saw the scripture, and I was like, God, please help me from not being stupid and making bad decisions. So I said, God, give me wisdom. Give me lots of wisdom, Lord. Proverbs 17, verse 24 says, the discerning sets his face towards wisdom, but the eyes of a fool or on the ends of the earth. In other words, everything else but God. Oh, you gonna get your advice on how to run a relationship from love and hip hop. Oh, you, okay, you gonna follow all those people that hate Donald Trump. Not even understanding that God is in control. Ratchetness is attractive, it's full of the flesh. Silliness, we're all into it. Relatives that don't even love God at all, going to get most of our marriage advice from them. And they ain't even together. How in the hand fact you going to get relationship advice from somebody who's been divorced three times over? Who does that? Or to father or to mother children and they don't have any. You need to talk with people who got skin in the game. A track record, some battle scars that have healed. There's a lot of people who got wounds out there that are well advanced in age, but they never heal. They become bitter, not better. Lady Martin, I'm pumping on all cylinders today, but it's the truth in love, I promise you. Brother Martin in the back, did you know that that's not all that there is to the house? I can say Brother Martin there because he's starting to get big now. Walking around. It's fascinating to me. Because I know that he'll be gone off to college someday. So I'm trying to pump him as much information as possible. Did you know that one of the additional pieces to a house is a security system? My brother sold ADT security systems. He hooked us up too. Some of y'all too. This specifically represents in the spirit protection from enemies. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5 says in the ESV, it says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Have you ever felt like God is, you know, some aloof God, just away and won't protect you? When I walk in the blessing that God gave me with my house and family, I always remember the words of my mother. And it seems like the reason why I believe I'm remembering more of the words of my mother is because I know that she's getting older in age. And that she won't be here forever. My father won't be here forever. So I hear these words starting to ring more and more true in my mind. And she would say something like, let the Lord protect you and keep you. And I would walk around my house in the middle of the night, just in wonderment and amazement of how God has been good to me. But I never let that be a time of complacency. People of God, I will say this over and over again. You have to pray more during good times than just bad. When God blesses you, that's when you have to pray even more. You can't pull the pump off of the brakes and be like, oh, well, I got my blessing and that's it. That's how the devil entraps the child of God over and over again, because it makes you feel comfortable like Rudy Huxtable. Twister, y'all. Let's just look up the song, okay? I'm trying to work with them, my friends. So we have a protection system because of God. Not only that, this is the part that I want to work on next. I've already slated aside. I look at certain things in our yard. I'm like, I got to do something with this. I got to do something with this. And it is called landscaping. Landscaping is also a key part of the house, too. Biblically speaking, this usually centers itself around gardening. You bought that house now, Elder Wednesday, that grass keep on growing, don't it? It'll never stop. It'll never stop. And the wife will just look at you and be like, you about ready to go on out there? So you better do one or two things. You better get a lawn man or a lawnmower. It just never stops. I used to spend a lot of time, Lady Martin, remember this. I used to spend a lot of time in our yard, especially when I had time, when Andre was just being born and we got our house over there out there in Sanford, and even before then at Deltona. I would always go around the house and look for weeds. I was like a weed specialist. I would bend down. I would take my hands, oftentimes without gloves, because I just knew what I was doing. I'm just saying. And I would take those little prickly weeds that would just sting you, and then they would start peeling your skin. I would reach down at the root, and I would pull them up. And I would always be looking out my window, looking for weeds. Is that a weed? And I would just get up early in the morning to go outside to pick up a couple of weeds, because I couldn't stand them. But they kept on coming back. When God gives you a garden, a garden represents the surrounding influence of your house. You have to be able to recognize weeds and remove them if at all possible. Some you can't. Sometimes the weeds grow in your house. You just have to deal with it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 illustrates this, that God has given us influence around us, things that we should cultivate and take care of. It says in verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it, and keep it. To work it and keep it. So that means that it takes work not only to take care of the house, but also around the house. That's why building a brand new house in a bad neighborhood is not always the best thing. Because it may be peaceful in the house. The people may be peaceful, but then there's always these bad influences around your house that's going to be gunning for you. Breaking in your house. I remember my house got broken into in Jacksonville. That was one of the triggers that made my dad move to the other side. Some dope fiend came into the house and stole a bunch of pennies and had them inside of a jar, inside of a trash bag, and just left them there. And we all came home like after Bible study, so I could imagine what would have happened if we were all there. My mom is a saintly woman, but I think that night she would have turned into another person. But that was the catalyst for my dad to say, you know what, enough is enough. Our house is peaceful, my family is peaceful, but our house is surrounded by weeds. Weeds represent tares. Tares are individuals who are not representatives of the kingdom of God. And if there's too much of that around you, then it will be multiple break-ins into your house. and it will overtake the good things. And then finally, and I'm done. Come on, Al, I'm done. I like to hear this. Eventually, I'm going to become an old deacon in somebody else's church, an old elder in somebody else's church. And I want to say, power, power, Lord, with a V. Power, power, Lord. Y'all remember when our power got knocked out here when the Hurricane Irma came? Y'all remember that? And we were just as happy. We had that little speaker, the speaker that I started ministry with. That's what I was using right up there at the front. Battery cutting in and out, trying to get Al to play. Through that little speaker. And we were singing to the glory of God. We had church fans in there. Martin Luther King was on one side. Mary McLeod Bethune was on the other. We were fanning, open up the windows. Y'all remember that? Open up the windows and just, it was ventilation going. We had no power, or did we? In the natural, there was no power, but in the spirit, it was a whole bunch of it. And it's still what keeps us going to this day. So as I close in part one of this series, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 through 12 says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours." That sounds like everything, don't it? "Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honors comes from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." There's no reason to go into a beautiful house if there's no power. Nice on the outside, dark on the inside. These are things that we should be focusing on since we can't go anywhere. Things that have been neglected for a long time. I notice everything in my house now. I'm like, oh man, the painters need to come back and they need to take care of that and that and that, that, that. Or I need to do it myself. We need to replace this. We need to uproot this. We need to change this out. But it's going to be expensive. It's worth the cost. Because once it's done and taken care of, we can enjoy it. Is your house in order? If it is, then it has all of the makings of becoming a home. So next week, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about how to move from just having a house, which is the structure that God has placed for us, to us walking in obedience. And that makes it a home. We're going to move from the individual, male and female, marriage, father, mother, children, extended family, even to death. I'm trying to help you put your house in order. A house is not a home unless someone's there. Do, 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 do. Doom, 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 doom. Y'all laughing at me. Doom, doom. A house is not a home unless the two of us. I climb the stairs and turn the key. Oh, please be there, still in love with me. Wow. Still in love, still in love. Get your houses in order. God is still in love with you. And I want your homes to be intact. Because that's what really keeps it together. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you and we bless you. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your favor, Lord God. Bless us now.
Help us, Heavenly Father, as we make our houses true homes, not only understanding what you have prepared for us as a dwelling place, but we also appreciate the fact that you're going to teach us how to function in that dwelling place. May we not only be hearers of the word, but doers. May we walk in faith as well as obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Everybody say amen. You went fast. You changed that really quick. Amen. Everybody say, oh, Lord. Oh, true believers say, true believers say, true believers say, oh, Lordy, amen. So be it. So it is. Ibabashando. Let's go ahead and go, everybody. God bless you. God keep you. This is my prayer. Young Lions, you all will be doing the roadside cleanup with us. Jose, tackle them before they go outside. Just put your foot out. Let's go ahead and change really quick. Get in circle. Let's meet up at the front really briefly to talk about don't worry about the banquet just yet. Let's go ahead and get this out of the way. And then once we come back from the roadside cleanup, we'll talk about the banquet, all right? Be blessed, people of God.